T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
No Doubt is the artist of the day, making their debut. We've done a lot of those lately. I was going through the topic starters that Boss sent us overnight. Hey, weirdo. Did you see how many he sent in about turkeys and Thanksgiving?
No.
I'm looking at a minimum of 25 stories about Thanksgiving.
Well, it is the season.
Where did Black Friday come from? Most popular Christmas movies in the U.S. mapped out state by state. 7 things you didn't know about your Thanksgiving dinner. Teaching the history of Thanksgiving.
I think that's fantastic.
10 things you don't know about turkey. Avoiding family fights during the holidays. Oh, my God, weirdo.
How not to bring up religion or politics during the holidays.
Oh, that's already taken care of.
Yeah. Do you guys have a rule that you just don't talk about it?
No, my mother and I have previously agreed we will not talk about politics ever again.
Not just at Thanksgiving, but ever again.
Ever again.
I think that's a good idea.
Because she's crazy and I'm not. And we've decided that she's crazy
yeah.
and I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we won't talk about politics. Religion, every once in a while, but usually not, no. I mean, she knows where I stand. I know where she stands. She's a Bible beater. I'm not. You know, whatever.
Did I tell you, I know it's not Tuesday, but I've got something I need to drop a little nugget on you here, okay?
What do you got?
My family told me to stop telling Thanksgiving jokes, but I told them I couldn't quit cold turkey. You need to bring that out at Thanksgiving.
What?
You need to break out that joke at Thanksgiving.
I'm not going to break out that joke at Thanksgiving.
I think that you should.
That's not even a joke. That's the dumbest damn thing I've ever heard in my life.
By the way, it's been a while since we've done a terrible joke Tuesday.
I know, right? I couldn't save it for tomorrow. It's so good I had to drop that on you
today.
Well,
you can do a terrible joke Monday for all I care. You want to?
My family told me to stop telling Thanksgiving jokes.
We heard it the first time.
I couldn't quit cold turkey.
No. No, we heard it the first time.
I have a story that I want to share with everyone that actually made me cry Saturday night. As I was reading it in the car to Chris, I got choked up reading this story.
Where were you guys going?
We were on our way back from our anniversary dinner.
Oh, that's right.
I know. We went downtown and had a lovely dinner at Webster House, one of my favorite places.
Which is where you got married.
Where we got married, that went back to the scene of the crime, had mm-hmm. a lovely, lovely dinner.
That's nice.
And then in the car on the way home, we're driving back behind a driver who did not have their headlights on, by the way, at mm-hmm. like 9:30 p.m. on I-35 mm-hmm. in a minivan. And so I'm looking through stories and I come upon this story and I started reading it to him. And I got choked up. And then I came home and I read it to the kids. I got choked up again. I'd only had like 2 glasses of wine. There is a young man from Lee's Summit North by the name of Daniel Worth. And this is going to be your favorite story of the day. So Missouri's swim season is earlier than Kansas's. They're staggered. And so they went to state this last weekend.
Okay.
And in order to break a record, Scott, and I never knew this before I was part of the swim world, in order to break a state record, you have to break it in the pool at state.
Right. At a state competition.
You could break it 100 times during the school year.
Sure, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't go into the books.
You break the school record, but you don't break the state record.
Yeah, okay. You got to break it at state.
Right.
So I believe it was in St. Louis or St. Peter's, Missouri, that the finals were this last weekend. It says the 100-yard high school breaststroke record in the state of Missouri had stood the test of time for the better part of 3 decades until Daniel Wirth came along. He is a junior at Lee Summit North. He's not even a senior.
Okay.
He flirted with breaking the mark last year, and this year he did more than flirt with that 30-year-old record. His time of 53.53 seconds at Saturday's Class 2 state meet was more than 1 full second faster than the 54.7 posted by Jeff Cummings of St. Louis University High that held up again for 28 years. Mm. Quoting here from Wirth, he says, it's been a motivator for me the past 2 years. Last year I was pretty close and I was happy with it, and this year I was really gunning for it. Listen to this. Knowing his record was likely to fall, Mr. Cummings was on hand to watch that record break.
Wow.
When he almost broke it last year, I kind of got a little jolt and said, finally. Cummings is now 45 years old and a swim school owner in Tucson, Arizona. Scott, he flew in to watch his record fall. He said, I could not be happier to see where this young man can take the record. He's going to be waiting maybe another 30 years for it to be broken again. Wirth also broke his own state record earlier in the meet, won the 200 individual medley. He gets into training and everything that he did for this. I was so...
Why'd it make you cry?
Overwhelmed. Because and I don't want to say this is
because
a swim thing.
Selfless thing?
But it's so selfless. And that swim family is so supportive in that sport. I've never seen anything like it. That for someone to fly in from Arizona to watch his record likely be broken, but he didn't know, and was there to hug this young man as he got out of the pool, I thought, what a wonderful thing to do for that young man to be there and to get out of the pool, and the first person to greet him is the person whose record you just broke. It's a beautiful thing. And we'll post it on the KMBZ Facebook page. So congratulations, Mr. Wirth out of Lee Summit North. Wow. He's only a junior. We will see that name in lights.
And to Mr. Cummings.
Unbelievable.
2 glasses of wine, huh?
Oh, it was so sweet.
Two glasses of wine.
And then he was there and he hugged him when he got out of that pool.
And what was Chris saying?
He's like, yeah, yeah.
Trying to avoid
a collision with the dum-dum that doesn't have his lights on.
That's a good story, honey.
Isn't that sweet?
It is really sweet.
Well, Rebecca, you're a swim mom. You're a swim mom, and I have goosebumps too, and it's a lovely moment between those two athletes.
Well, former athlete.
No, I think
he's still an athlete.
If he owns a swim school, he could probably still whoop up in the pool. That's my guess.
Am I still an athlete?
No.
Do you play soccer?
I coach it.
Do you ever play it?
No.
Do you ever kick the ball around yourself?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well then, yes.
Yes, I do kick the ball around sometimes by myself. If you must know.
Scott, you said you work out, right?
Yep.
I was just reminiscing on Rebecca's great dig.
Mm-hmm. That was a long time ago.
No, it wasn't. It was about a month ago.
We're not going to bring that back up. We're all in a feel-good place right
when
now.
When Rebecca called me fat.
I did not call you fat.
What
I just asked if you worked out.
We're all feeling happy. Let's just let
this is just such a heartwarming story.
Just leave it at that.
Do you work out because you look
go
fat?
Go to the news!
I'm not going to
the
news.
Why do you always pee on my good news story?
The news doesn't start for 15 minutes.
Why do you always pee on my good stories?
I'm peeing on her.
Oh, wow.
That's something.
I am. She's mean. She's got an angry viper woman in her. That's all.
If everybody had an ocean across the USA, then everybody be surfing.
Let's get straight to it.
Like California,
the Kansas City Star. You'd see glasses. Them wearing their baggies. Not getting any younger. The big reason for bike-related deaths, according to a detailed new federal study, is head injuries. The number of states that require adult bike riders to wear their helmets.
That require it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess it's very few.
Zero.
Or less.
The number?
Then very few.
You're not saying less than zero?
No.
Okay. the number that required children to wear helmets while they're riding their bicycle.
Statewide law?
Mm-hmm.
40.
21. Helmets are useful, quote, if the crash has already happened, we can avoid the crash in the first place, said Shannon Binns, executive director of Sustain Charlotte, a smart growth advocate. He lamented that historically we prioritize speed over safety. The push for helmet laws is a distraction.
Oh, she's against this.
Said Deb Banks, another person.
Yeah.
Acting executive director of the Sacramento Area Bicycle Advocates, the larger issues are streets that need to be safer and crumbling infrastructure. She says helmets are not necessary. However, Shannon Binn says they are.
Yeah, they're not necessary until you crash. And your last thought is, damn, should have been wearing one.
I'll be honest with you. I drive Maya and Kelly's son to school every single morning. And there are a lot of kids in the neighborhood that ride their bicycles to school. I have yet to see one wearing a helmet.
Okay.
Helmets have become,
Scott,
were once in vogue and are now not in vogue.
When did this happen? I just told you this story. We have four kids in our neighborhood. We do not have sidewalks that ride their bikes to school in the mornings. Okay.
I bet every single one of those four does not wear a helmet.
Not one of them. Yep. It's one girl and three little boys, and they're little. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking 16 or 14. I mean, not that that matters if you get hit by a car, because it doesn't, but we're talking maybe third grade, fourth grade, and you know, they're all riding in a row in the street. Mm-hmm. It's now dark in the morning. Mm. And I have thought to myself, when did we see this shift? Because 10 years ago, people were crazy about it.
Yeah, away from wearing a helmet.
We have gone away from wearing it. I just looked it up. Of all of the states that mandate it for kids under 16 or under 18, Kansas and Missouri are not on the list. There is no requirement in Kansas or Missouri that I have found. They want a federal law to make everyone have to wear them.
Oh, hell no.
Adults too.
Nope. No. No.
And even those in the cycling community are saying no. They're saying, okay, we suggest it. We'll give you the information. This is why you should wear it. But we don't want the government mandating that you wear it.
Mm-mm. Did you wear a helmet when you were a kid?
We also didn't wear seatbelts growing up because we didn't know any better, Scott. And our parents smoked when they were pregnant. And we did all kinds of things back in the 70s.
But to say we didn't know better is not fair. We did know better.
No one wore helmets back in the 70s.
We just didn't care.
Yeah, I didn't even own a helmet.
I'm not talking the 80s.
But we're better now, aren't we? We have the research and the knowledge and the education that we should be doing these things.
We are. I still didn't make my kids wear helmets. Like, I bought them helmets, I put it on them, and then I got tired of chasing them.
What the hell does that even mean?
Like, to make them put them on. Like, it was just like they would ride off and then they would take their helmet off.
But why not wear it? We have them.
Why?
It will save you if you crash.
Because
why not wear it?
For the same reason that kids don't wear corduroys, because you're a nerd. That's why they don't wear it. And number two, let's be honest. That little piece of plastic is going to save you when you get hit by a car. Give me a break.
Yes, it actually will if you get hit. It's not the car hitting you that can kill you, although it can and does. It's the head injury you receive when your head makes contact with the concrete. That's where the injury comes from.
Do you make your kids wear a helmet?
They are out of the age of all of that.
So nobody bicycles in your house?
We have graduated from the bicycle.
When they were bicycling, did you make them wear helmets?
Yes.
Every single one.
I was a freak about it because we don't have sidewalks in our neighborhood.
Okay.
And so when they were going to the pool, and so now I worry on the other side that I have drivers. I have teenage drivers, and I have to remind them, you need to drive like 10 miles an hour in our neighborhood because there are children on bikes and they're not wearing helmets.
If you want to save yourself in a bicycle accident, God forbid you get hit by a car, you need to be wearing something akin to a football helmet, not a bicycle helmet.
I disagree.
That little turd on your head is so misinformed
that it scares me you just said it.
Okay.
They need to be wearing them, Scott. Now, we can talk about whether or not the federal government should mandate it. Well, there are some states that mandate motorcycle riders wear helmets.
Mm-hmm. I believe Missouri does.
It's one or the other. Missouri does and Kansas doesn't.
Missouri
doesn't,
does and Kansas does not. That is correct.
So why, if you're going to mandate a motorcycle helmet, why would you not go ahead and mandate the bicycle helmet?
Well, I think there's a difference between riding a motorcycle down I-35 and pedaling along Johnson Drive or Knoll.
Not many people can ride a bicycle at 80 miles an hour.
Yeah. And quite frankly, if you get into a wreck on your motorcycle at 80 miles an hour, even that helmet's probably not going to help you that much.
True.
576-7798. I know I'm the jerk. I get it. That's my role. I do not think the government should require you to wear a bicycle helmet, nor should it require you to make your kids wear a bicycle helmet. No.
We make them wear seat belts and we put them in car seats.
And
Why is this any different?
I am opposed to the government forcing me to wear a seat belt.
Oh, my God. You, of all people,
eating
the windshield of a car, should be on some podium somewhere screaming about mandated seatbelt safety.
I'm all for people putting on their seatbelt. I want people to put their seatbelt on. I don't want the government to tell me to put my seatbelt on. I have been consistent from day one, from the day the show started.
When the government adds taxes, Scott, to cigarettes, statistics have proven over the years the smoking rate drops.
Well, that's fine, but I'm opposed to it.
It is a perfectly inverse relationship. The price goes up, smoking rates go down. There are things that we can say as a society that will help protect society.
Somebody writes in, Scott, modern helmets are better than nothing, idiot. You're right. You're probably right. And I'm all for people wearing their helmets. Please don't misunderstand. What I'm opposed to, and I'm not going to call you a name, texter, 8207, jerk. I just called you a name. Sorry. I am opposed to the government telling me what I have to wear. I have been consistent on this program from day one. So this should not come as a shock to anyone. I'm opposed to the government, period. And they don't have the right to tell me that I need to wear a bicycle helmet or a motorcycle helmet or to put my seatbelt on. If I don't want to do it, kiss off. It's my life. Scott, the government is the people. If you actually believe that, 5941.
Bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like. You say black, I say white. You say black, I say white.
Hey, let me answer two really quick good questions from the text line. From 5083, Parks, honest question. Do you think the government should have laws about buckling up your kids or using car seats? And I wrote back, yes, up to a certain age. For example, an infant or a toddler or even an 8, 9, 10-year-old kid can't really make a decision about their own safety. The law should be about protecting me from you, not me from me. And so, yes, I do believe that the government should have laws on the books regarding buckling up your children or putting them in a safe car seat. Then somebody else writes in, 5845, why is it okay for the government not to mandate people to wear helmets for their own safety, yet it's okay for the government to tell people what they can and cannot say on the radio? I am speaking of the 7 words that are banned by the FCC. For the record, there is actually no 7-word ban. That's a George Carlin skit. The FCC has not written down 7 words that you can and cannot say on the radio. That was a skit by George Carlin years ago. And it's very funny. However, all of the words he did use cannot be said on the air. But there's more than 7 words, quite frankly.
There are actually an unlimited number, if you think about it.
Depending on how you use them and the space you provide between them. Yes.
Correct.
Like, I can say God, and then later I can say, damn. I could get in trouble if I merge them together. That's correct.
Remember on Sesame Street where they would take out the middle letter and they would squeeze them together and make a new word? That's, it's like that.
That's how you get in trouble.
It's exactly like that.
Mm-hmm. So you get my point. And quite frankly, I don't think there should be a ban on that. I really don't.
Oh.
No, I don't. I think that the market should dictate, and I understand that we're on public airwaves, but I think the market should dictate what you want to listen to. If you know for a fact that you could tune into Dana and Parks and not hear certain words that would make you cringe or make you blush in front of your children,
the market would bear it out.
Then you should. But if you were to tune into, say, I'm going to create a station here, 101.9, I don't think that station exists in this town. And over there, they were introducing rap music that included certain phrases and words. You have every right not to listen to that station. Don't put it in one of your little key buttons. That's how I think it should work. Is that the way it does work? No, it does not. But I promise you this, even if, let me promise you this, guys, even if they loosen the regulations where people are allowed to say certain words on the radio, I promise you on this show, we will not use those words. We've gone as far as we're ever going to go. Mike in Topeka. Mike, hello.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi, good.
Going well, thanks.
So a couple things for you. When I was in junior high, I used to race BMX. And by the time high school came around, I kind of got tired of it and decided to start riding street. And from racing BMX, I learned the value of all of the protective equipment. And one of the things I always continued to wear was my full-face helmet. And all my buddies used to give me crap about it and, you know, call me a dork and everything until one of my other friends misjudged a trick and hit a handrail with his face and shattered most of his teeth. And I tell you what, if you think getting called a dork because of a little bit of helmet hair is bad, try getting a date to prom with dentures.
Yeah.
It's hard. And the other thing, I don't know all of the details, but I'm pretty sure there's a famous motorcyclist. His name was something Snell. And a lot of helmets nowadays are Snell rated for highway use. And they are actually rated to a certain impact. And I believe it's 100 miles an hour that you can hit your head directly on the pavement and survive. And so if you have a Snell-rated helmet, those are the ones you want for highway use.
Huh. All right.
So, yeah, that's it.
Hey, Mike, thank you for the call, buddy. I do appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
From the text line, 3644, Scott, as someone who has been a human ballistic missile, I am shocked that you don't see the importance of seatbelts. That is false.
You see the importance, absolutely. But you don't think it should be a law, which stuns me, because it has dramatically reduced the number of fatalities.
Dana, it is a bit of a catch-22 for me, or a paradox, I guess is a better word. I will advocate to the hill the importance of putting on your seatbelt. When I get into a car, I will not move that car until I know everybody has their seatbelt on. That's my rule. My rule when you get into my car is you have to have a seatbelt on. Because I have seen what happens when you don't wear a seatbelt. I just don't want the government telling me that I have to wear a seatbelt. It's my choice.
And I will disagree with you when it comes to a child, because a child cannot make the choice. And so if you have a parent who's like, man, whatever.
Which is what I just said. I agree there should be laws for parents in making sure that their children wear seatbelts, or that children who are of a certain age are in a car seat.
As an adult, you say no.
That's exactly right.
Okay, this is from bicyclelaw.com. Helmets don't just protect your brain, they also protect your face. One study found that riders with helmets had a 31% lower odds of facial fractures. The upper part of the face, particularly around the eyes, was the most protected. Because, you know, today, sure, the modern helmets come out and down, right, over your eyebrows.
Right.
26,000 children and adolescents are treated in ERs every year for traumatic brain injuries due to bicycle-related accidents. Cycling injuries account for nearly double the amount of traumatic head injuries caused by football every year, 85,000 versus 46,000. Okay. It's a thing.
I understand it's a thing. I have to be true to what I believe. And what I believe is the government's job. I've said this since the day you joined this show 7 years ago, Dana. Can you believe it's been that long?
Yeah, it feels like it.
Well, we're about to celebrate an anniversary coming up soon.
Aw.
Yeah, thanks. Is that the government's job is to protect me from you and you from me, not me from me. And I have believed that since the day you joined that show and this show, and I still believe that. Great question. Why is it that some radio stations in this town can say GD, but you cannot? Good question. The FCC judges every radio station, if you need to know the inside baseball, on what they consider to be community standards.
Yeah, the average man standard.
The community standards of the average listener of KMBZ is different than the average standards of a listener of, say, The Rock or The Buzz or whatever. We have to follow the average standards of our listening audience. That's why we cannot say certain words and other radio stations
can. Honestly, it's why we err on the side of caution.
That is correct. That's a great way to put it. Franklin in Lee's Summit. Hello, Franklin.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Hi. Thank you for asking.
Hey, so on the helmet issue, I agree in a sense that my daughter is mandated to wear a helmet because I'm her father when she rides a bike. But I don't believe the government should take the onus away from parents from being responsible individuals. They need to quit reaching into what happens in a household and mandating certain things to parents and, well, citizens as a whole.
All right, my friend, you are in. Before we get to the break, let's go to Andrew in Blue Springs. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're doing well, thank you.
Great. I had a question for you, Parks, about the seatbelts.
Okay.
I didn't want to straw man your position or anything, so I just wanted to, could you verify how you felt about the you don't like the government telling you you have to wear a seatbelt, correct?
Not as an adult, no.
Okay. And how do you feel, you said the government is there to protect me from you, correct?
Correct. Me from you and you from me, but not me from me, yes.
Right. So what if you're in my back seat and you're not wearing a seatbelt because you don't like being told you have to wear a seatbelt, and then you turn into a human ballistic missile and hit me in the back of the head and kill me?
Well, you're the driver of the car. You have every right to tell me to put my seatbelt on or kick me out of your car.
I guess that is true.
So if I get into the back of your car and you don't see me put on my seatbelt, are you not, by definition, accepting the fact that I'm not wearing my seatbelt?
Maybe I don't know you're not wearing your seatbelt.
Maybe you should be a more attentive driver.
Okay. All right, anyway, that's all I had for you.
Okay, buddy. Hey, do appreciate the call. Thank you for it. 576-7798, Rebecca Crockett, Sam Stevie III. She's Dana Ryden. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got 7 women on my mind. 4 that want to own me, 2 that want to stone me once. She's a friend of mine. Well, take it easy. Take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels. Text her, I thought I got you. 1375 writes in, when as a taxpayer I am forced to pay for your medical care.
There it is. I was waiting for this one.
Then I have every right to tell you to put a seatbelt on. I wrote back. Then do you also have the right to monitor how much I drink, whether I smoke?
No, because you're drinking a beer in your house.
What if I drink 30 beers at my house and blow out my liver? What if I smoke and I smoke 3 packs a day and fry my lungs?
And we are already seeing insurance companies and corporations step in and say, if you smoke, we are going to raise your rates because of your behavior.
Who predicted that, by the way?
So could they not say,
who predicted that?
If you are a cyclist, we are going to raise your rates because you are not wearing a helmet. And when you crash and you get a closed brain injury, that is going to cost millions of dollars.
And who predicted this?
I suppose you did.
I did. So I wrote back. So then, do you also have the right to monitor how much I drink, if I smoke, and what I buy at the grocery store? 1375 wrote back, absolutely. Now be very careful, 1375. Be very careful the path you are walking down. Because, yes, through Medicaid and Medicare, and maybe if someday we go to a Medicare for all kind of platform, yes, you're right. Taxpayer dollars will pay for that. Be very careful what you ask for, because you may just get it. Right now, it's, you know, we have the right to force you to put a seatbelt on. Soon, you're going to have the right, then, would you not, to tell me that I can't buy a bag of Doritos because I'm fat? Or maybe, Scott, you go with that diet pop and not the regular sugar full pop. Huh? Scott, we've noticed that you've been buying a lot of beer lately. We're concerned, as the government, that you might blow out your liver here in a few years. Or cause some heart problems. We're going to go ahead and put you on a limit for the number of beers that you can buy. Yeah, I'll just go to the bar. Oh, we're going to follow you there too. Be very careful. That line is not as shaded as you think, Texter. Jesse in Tonganoxie. Hello, Jesse.
Hey, how are you?
Well, I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Two things. One, the choices we make today, we have to live with tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So if I want to drink 30 beers, I could drink 30 beers. If I want to smoke 4 packs, I'll smoke 4 packs. That's my choice. The choice that I choose today, I have to live with tomorrow.
Okay.
Hello. Okay. And then the other thing was, you guys were talking about seatbelts, and I was remembering when I was younger, riding in the back seat of a car, or like in the back seat of the window. But nowadays, that's not okay. So I have 2 kids now. So if my kids are not buckled up, or I have somebody else's kid with me in my car, I will not move my car.
Hey, whoa.
You got to turn your radio down, babe.
You got to turn that radio down, man.
I'm sorry. I was listening to myself.
I know. And you're giving us feedback.
I'm sorry. I'm a little conceited, I guess.
You're a good caller, but you're not that good.
The rules have never changed with that. Turn the radio down.
But is that not true, though? But the choices that I make today is the choices that I got to live with tomorrow?
Yes, unless they affect somebody
unless
else.
Unless they affect somebody else, which people would argue with respect to the car accident that you get in without the seatbelt, that raises everybody's rates. We all end up paying for it, which is why they're able to mandate those things.
But what we're talking about are private insurance rates.
Okay.
We're not talking about government insurance rates.
Sure we are.
In what regard?
If you work for the University of Kansas Health System, you don't think they tell their doctors you can't smoke?
Go ahead. Very quickly, Jesse.
No, I was going to say, no, that's true, because like your insurance rate goes up when you smoke.
These are private insurance companies.
Okay. All right.
I think you can work for a public corporation or a school system and have them say to you, you've got to sign this waiver proving to us you don't smoke, or we're going to raise your rates.
The word public is a misnomer here. You work for a private corporation that does the exact same thing.
They are side door mandating it already.
I agree with you on that. However, that is not the government saying you can't smoke. That is a private company, and I don't agree with it, by the way. That is a private company telling you you can't smoke. Now, I've predicted this for 4 years now, that this was coming. Here's what's next. Mark my words, because I can predict stupid, like nobody's business, because I am stupid. Within the next 10 years, I promise you, there will be weigh-ins for your private insurance. I promise you. You will have to weigh in like you would for a wrestling match. And so you're going to see people running around in those silver, like, sweat machine jackets.
I don't know that we're going to see that.
They're going to try to get
to weigh in for my life insurance.
They're going
to
try.
Yeah, you do.
It's already coming. I promise you.
They wanted to know for my life insurance. Did you just go through this little survey? They want to know what medicine you're on. Have you ever been to the doctor? If you were at the doctor, what were you there for? You know, and then it says, if you know we catch you lying, we're going to hunt you down and kill you. They want to know. They want to know what medications you are on. I'm like, is that any of their business? But like, if you want the life insurance coverage,
I'm on Lysina, none of your business. And Viagra, none of your business. That's what I'm on. But then if you say that, they won't give you
and
the life insurance.
And this was through the companies. Like, if you want to sign up for additional life, man, they want to know what you, and weight, height, family history of heart disease, or like they ask all these things.
You know why? So when it, when you die, they can catch you in a lie and they don't have to pay a dime.
They wanted to know if I had anxiety. I go, yeah, reading this damn questionnaire gives me anxiety.
Oh, tell Rebecca what you wrote. Tell Rebecca.
Oh, yeah. They said, do you have anxiety? And I go, yes. Starting, and they go, starting on what day? I put my start date. They wanted to know what day my anxiety started.
Did
I don't
put
know,
your birthday?
Scott. What day do you think it started?
I believe it was January 30th, 2012.
That's what I put. They said, why? I said, have you listened? Go to the podcast.
January 30th, 2012, the day you started on this show.
It's the day I put down.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. By the way, this show is about to cross its eighth year, you and me.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
What gift do you get on your eighth year anniversary?
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.